The X Factor. I almost let them push me up here in a wheelchair today to play Xavier. I was this close, but then I thought, we have a lot of visitors. They'll freak out. But last week, and you'll see how all this fits in just a minute. I did not plan on there being a part two to People God Can Use. And I had it spent days on my lesson. And it was one of those things where God just knocked me upside the head and said, nope, this is where you're going. And it was, I was on my preparation day. I was already halfway through writing it and had to change everything. So somebody here needs this, but I know it was for me first. This is mine, so I claim it, but I'm sure you'll need it too. Last week, just as a really quick one-liner recap for those of you that weren't here, because this is People God Can Use Part 2. This is what we learned last week. If you are serious about God using you, listen to me. If you weren't here last week especially, it doesn't happen by accident. Okay? You don't become a Christian and suddenly God's going to use you. You become a Christian through the blood of Jesus Christ. It costs you nothing. But if you want to be someone God uses, it will cost you everything and it has to be on purpose. Okay? So number one, what we learned last week was it has to be a purposeful and dedicated choice or God's not going to use you. And I'm not going to go back through all these points, but I want to stress it to you because we're getting ready for part two. You got to make a choice and you got to be dedicated. If you want God to use you, it's going to take your life. Okay? Two, you got to be humble. If you're not humble, you can't hear Him. If you're not humble, you can't love people to let Him move in your heart to help them. Okay? Number three, you have to hate sin and seek righteousness, because if your mind's dwelling on sin and what you can get by with and what you want to do and what you could have done and what you'd like to do, how can you love that person if they're the object of your sin? How can you think on God's righteousness and His plan if you're thinking about your sin? You have to not only avoid it, but try to destroy it with malice if you want God to use you. Four, you got to take a new stance on walking in His Word and in prayer. It's no longer I'm doing it because I have to. It's I'm studying His Word because I want to know who He is and what He wants and what His will is, because I'm wanting to do it now. Okay? I take on a new excitement to reading. And when I pray, it's no longer, oh, Lord, bless me, bless Mom, bless Grandma. Oh, it's what are you doing? What do you need to do in me? What do the people around me need? What are you doing in my life, in my workplace? You need to be asking, and your life will, your prayer life will come alive because now you're asking in expectation, expecting Him, because you're praying in His will, to answer so you can move. So it revolutionizes your life. But these are things you got to do if you're going to be used. And God waits on you to do it because He wants to know how badly you want to be used. And lastly, when He does speak, when He does open the door, when it is ready, you got to step out. You got to do it. And He's going to take you to uncomfortable places. And you just got to be willing to go, because when you get there, it's awesome. And the whole world's only going to know it's real when you step out. All right? So that's where we were. Now, we're going to go into a second unexpected part. And this might be the most important part of all. All right? You go back to that X factor. Here's why I call this the X factor. Merriam-Webster defines X factor as this. Listen closely. If you listen, say amen. All right. A circumstance, quality, or person that has a strong but, what's the word? Unpredicted influence. Collins English Dictionary says this: an unknown or unexplained element that makes something more interesting or valuable. And lastly, definitions.net dictionary says, an unknown or hard to define influence, a factor with unknown or unforeseeable consequences. The X-Men, if anybody knows superheroes in here, they all have this unusual mutated trait that gives them these special powers, right? People say that I'm Xavier because I'm running a school for the gifted and we're all kind of weird. So I agree, but we're weird in an awesome way. So, what? Okay. Go ahead, say it. The bald and crippled. Nothing but love. So, yeah, thank you, thank you. Wow. Wow, reel it in, reel it in. So, these guys have an X factor. They had something that no one really understood that changed them and made them special and influenced them physically in an unknown way. All right, so, now here's where I want you to listen. This is the most important part about being used by God. And it's going to be hard to get through because it's it's big to me. Without exception, every major player who was ever used powerfully by God in Scriptures, I want you to think on this. Every major player in Scriptures had an event or a series of events orchestrated or allowed by God that molded them, matured them, humbled them, and then opened doors for them to go places and do things they could never have orchestrated on their own. Tell me I'm wrong. Think about it. Every one of them changed circumstances. They were equipped for the journey because of something God did outside of themselves. Not only were they equipped, but the journey was made possible because of something that God did that they didn't do. Because if they had done it, it wouldn't count, right? So I guess we could call the X factor the G factor. So we'll be the G men. That kind of sounds violent, doesn't it? But because God brings in that unexpected, unpredictable influence or event to mold you in ways you will never, ever prepare yourself for or train yourself for. And He'll open the doors to move you in places, in ways you would never prepare for. You gotta have the X factor, or else you will not be used by God. There's not a person in Scriptures that didn't have the G factor, the X factor, the unknown event by God to mold them in ways they could not be molded. You can go through all five steps that we talked about last week. You can be serious about it. And the more serious you get, the more you better not only think it might happen, but you better expect it. 100%. If I have dedicated my life to following God, the G factor's coming. Something's coming in my life that's going to be crazy, unpredictable. It's going to grow me in ways I don't want to grow. He's going to do things in my life I don't want to see. Guaranteed, if He's going to use you, because it's the way He's always done it, and you're no different, and I'm no different, and we're not better. But that's where you grow. That's where you're changed. So expect it, and instead of resisting it and crying like a baby, when the G factor comes into your life, embrace it and ask Him what He wants to do. Because you should sing praises that He is about to use me. He took me serious when I said, okay, and this is phase one, right? It's going to happen. There is no exception, so we got to talk about it. It's where He either molds you or shatters you. He either talks you into, no, this ain't for you, go sit down on the sideline. Or you allow it to mold you in such a way that you will be the person He needs. You don't start out special. Some of us do. He makes you special. Okay, now, so I'm going to start with a really important thesis on Joseph, because I'm going to talk about Joseph today as an example, because God put him hard on my heart, not because of the stuff going on, but it's kind of cool. All right, if you listen and say, aha! All right, God did not, I want you to hang on everything we say today, don't let it just be theology, practical. Okay, God did not use Joseph because he was special or usable in any way. God doesn't pick people and say, man, he's awesome. I got to do something with him. And the sooner you and I get that through our head, the sooner He might use us. Because some of us, the only reason He's not using us is because we think we're so usable. Right? Anything Joseph did have, number one, God gave it to him. He kind of didn't mold his own play dough. Right? But all that God gave him, all of his gifts, all the blessings would be completely, listen, all your gifts and all your blessings would be completely useless in and of themselves because of your limited knowledge, your limited wisdom, your lack of ability to love, your lack of ability to see what God's really going to do, your total focus on yourself. You can't get past it. So now how gifted you think you are, you're not usable. I'm not usable. God worked in Joseph's heart. Listen, we're going to walk through this. And in his life, God worked through his heart and in his life through orchestrated events, the X factor. That factor He introduced to Joseph's useless life that Joseph couldn't control and didn't sign up for the class because he wouldn't have taken it. And that was what made Joseph special so that he could be used. Because God will tuck and trim and add and all the places he needs to make you into the person you don't want to become, because it's hard. And then you're usable. So, and when he molds you into something special through the G factor, then you can do it for his glory and his power. But if you do it before then, even if you are successful, it's all for your glory, and he's not going to get any glory out of it because he didn't need you to do it. He didn't get any glory out of that. So, let's step into the story of Joseph. We're going to skim through it because we could spend weeks on this, okay? And I want you to see, when God calls you and you've decided to act for him and you've decided to be usable and he's going to say, all right, you're ready for the X factor. I'm bringing it. How do you respond to it? All right? We're going to take a look. Starting in Genesis 37:2. This is the story of Jacob. His alternate name God gave him, Israel. He's the one that the 12 tribes came from. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, let that stick in your head, 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age and the son of the woman he loved the most, Rachel. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors, but when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Okay, so Joseph is the son of the old age, the son of the favorite wife, Rachel. And at this point, God has already put talents and gifts into him. But he is 17 years old, and he's been babied, and he's been spoiled, and he's been catered to, and he's been loved on, and he's been sheltered. And so what good that is in him is being ruined by someone who loves him too much the wrong way. And so instead of being out there saying, hey, you guys, my brothers in the field, you're doing it wrong. Let me show you how, right? Or instead of saying to his dad privately, maybe we could try a different plan. There's so many ways he could have done things differently. But what did he do? He's the little rat. You got one in your family? He's the little spoilt, rotten rat. He goes to daddy and said, let me tell you what they're doing while he does nothing, right? So he's not exactly number one example of character at this point. And daddy's a big part of it because daddy's showing favoritism. So I want you to understand, all the gifts God put into him, he's in a position where he's being lifted up. He's being spoiled with the easy life. And I think this is really, really, really a big thing that we need to take a look at. He's hated so much, he's sold into slavery by his very brothers. What's the biggest problem with us in this culture as Christians? What's the biggest reason we can't get tough when things come our way and they're hard and God needs us to step up to the plate and represent him? Tell you what it is, it's because we're Joseph. We're so used to having our little ego stroked and you got to say just right and do just right and my life's got to be easy and I'm worth it. We are Joseph. Period. End of story. Point of personal privilege. How can you do that to me? Shut up. Okay, if that's your whole goal of how you've been offended and how victimized you've been, you're Joseph right now. And you will never be used of God. So get over what the culture is teaching you. So if Joseph had to be forcibly removed from that environment before he could ever gain the character he needed to be used, do you not think it might be possible that God's going to have to forcibly change your environment before he can use you if you're growing up in the same environment? But when he does, you know what most of us do in a reaction? How could you? When he's doing the greatest thing he could possibly do to you because you're a spoiled brat. I told you this was my lesson. What does that say about me? So, God had to use the G factor to do something in his life that would never be accomplished. Now, let me tell you this. Joseph could have sat under some good preaching. He could have heard all about how you need to be humble, how you need to be dedicated, how you need to not worry about the good life, but you need to see what God wants you to do, how you need to mold yourself for God. And he would have said, man, that was a great sermon. And he'd have went back out and put on his coat of many colors and went on doing what he was doing. God will preach sermons to you all day and you will not hear it. So you know what he has to do? He has to put the X factor on you. He has to make you live it. because you don't forget the lived lessons. So, God removed him from an easy pampered life, from security, from familiarity, from feelings of, listen, because you got to apply this to yourself. You do it so he won't have to. Removed him from feelings of self-reliance, and get this one, removed him from avenues of ego boosting. The most dangerous thing in the world can be when someone tries to tell you how awesome you are all the time, because you'll begin to believe it, and that's dangerous. But if we don't have everybody telling us how awesome we are, we'll move on till we find somebody, because that's the way I function anymore, right? All right, so what God did to Joseph, what everybody around him and himself saw it as a bad thing, it forced him to focus and rely completely on God. So why don't we just accept that he's God and I'm dumb and I need to focus and rely on him anyway? Maybe he can use us without putting us in a pit. It took away any notion of his importance and it made him see reality. That, listen, oh gosh, that is the only beginning possible for God to use you. To come to that conclusion. That is impossible to do with just words. So I guarantee you, everyone that's taken this lesson series for the last 2 weeks will have an X factor in their life. Now, when this happened, this is what's so awesome about Joseph. When this factor came into his life, it could easily have ruined him forever. And there are people in here who have had this factor put in your life or allowed in your life by God right now, sitting here for days, weeks, months, or years, because God has brought something into your life to mold you and you have accepted it in the wrong way. It has caused you to be stagnant and ruined instead of being usable. And even God will use that. Some of us just take longer than others. You're simmering. You're in a crock pot instead of a frying pan. And someday, he'll take you out and you'll be done. But it only happens when we recognize that God is working. Okay? At 17 years old, how bitter would you be if your family, your own family, sold you to some Middle Eastern group and took you over to the Middle East and turned you into a slave? How easy would it be to hate them, hate the God that let you down, follow the false gods that are in this new country? These people didn't let you down. How easy would it be to just join them in their culture and anything and everything because my culture didn't want me, my family didn't want me, obviously my God didn't want me. Man, if you think God should have gave you a new car and he doesn't give it to you in 2 weeks, some of you use that as an excuse that he's either not real or he's abandoned me so I can sin because it really doesn't matter. God doesn't love me. We're so pampered. When we pray for something and we don't get it, that's our excuse to just delve farther into our sin. Joseph, at 17 years old, taken from everything and everybody he ever loved, betrayed by them, never used it one time through the whole story as an excuse to be angry or reject his God. Never did he question his God at 17. But we break a fingernail. I had someone at one time say, I bought a cake for somebody to do something good for them, and I went to get it out of the car and dropped it. I tried to do a good thing. How could God let that happen? Yep, you're ready to spend time in jail with Joseph. Not going to affect you at all. So get real. Get real. The harder you work, number one, the harder Satan's going to come against you. But God's going to mold you. All right. Let me ask you a question. When you read Scripture and you read about Abraham and Moses and Joseph and Paul and Peter, are you any different from these giants? Are we any better than these giants? Doesn't it stand to reason that the God who never changes is going to work in your life the same way? So why do we think he's not? And why do we get angry when he does? Accept Scriptures for what they are. Realize who you are and know that it's going to happen. Now, God gives us these stories to show us it's not a strange thing when it happens. God gives us these stories to show us how we are to react when he steps us into the X factor to grow us so he can use us. These stories are not by accident. That's why every giant in the Bible has one of these stories attached. So get ready. Genesis 39:1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Listen to number 2. This is what we question. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had been made overseer of the house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. All he worried about was what was going to be on the dinner table. So Joseph's sold as a slave. He's a lowlife. And I want you to listen to what God was doing here, because you're going to be put in circumstances that are going to be totally comparable to this. And your reaction is going to be, woe is me. When God sold him as a slave, a lowlife scum, Hebrews were scum to the Egyptians. One, this seemingly horrible turn of events actually placed Joseph in a position he could never put himself in. If you would just trust and take the ride, no matter how crazy it sounds, sometimes God is doing some really awesome positioning in your life to reach even one soul that may never see or hear anything about Jesus Christ other than what you show them. And if your life is hell on earth for the next 5 years, to reach that one soul that no one else would ever see Jesus in except you, and the turn of events that God put into your life, is that a wasted life? Why don't you just have some faith that God knows what he's doing? And when it happens, shut your mouth and try to look around and see, who might I reach? What position might he put me in if I would just take the ride that I would never dream of, much less get there myself, right? So one, he put him in a position. He strategized in a way that he couldn't have strategized for millions of years. Two, because Joseph, listen, remained trusting and did the best he could and loved everyone around him, friend or foe, because he did that, God began to ingrain amazing traits into his life. God did this. Listen, God introduced Joseph to disciplined hard work in a way he had never, ever tried on his own, right? God forced him into self-denial. God forced him to see himself as nothing. Do you think Joseph woke up at any given day and said, I wonder how good I look. I wonder how smart they think I am. I wonder how I'll be pleased today. There wasn't one thought of Joseph. When Joseph's eyes popped open, it's, what does my master need today? He learned to serve humbly without thoughts of self. And it was not because he chose it. Sometimes God's going to put you in a place where there is no chance of you ever considering yourself and your poor little woe is me life. All you've got time for is to hold on, because he wants you to stop thinking about you. And it caused him to acquire traits and skills in management and supervision and maturity that he never would have acquired. He became the master manager. And he wouldn't have done that sitting at home with his pretty little coat on, sitting in the tent, talking smack about the boys and telling them about the last dream he had that says he was better than them, would he? God sent him to a special college. Understand, it's not an accident. It's not a fantasy. God still works the same. He wants to use you. And the things that come in your life are not punishment. And it's not unfair. And it's not unjust. It's the G factor. Why don't you just stop and begin to pray and say, what are you doing? What do I need to learn? Where are you putting me? And he might only show you today and tomorrow. He might only show you today. But begin to trust for today. Next, God used Joseph's obedience in the face of unexplained difficulties to show massive proof of God's reality and his works to people that followed many, many gods. You think people in your life aren't following many, many gods? The god of lust, pornography, and me first, the god of politics, the god of unforgiveness. And if these things didn't occur, if you didn't have things happen in your life, if the X factor didn't come, if you weren't put in a position where it did hurt, if you weren't put in a position where everybody around you can say, that just ain't fair, how do these people know that your faith is real? How do they really finally see Jesus Christ? This is not the health and wealth preaching, but it's reality, and it's where the real joy is and the real purpose is if you want a purpose-driven life. And if Joseph at any time had just half-heartedly applied himself through all the mess, every bit of his witness would be gone. How many of you have never done anything but bad witnessing to anyone? Because every time you're in a problem, all you do is get worse than everybody else. And your God's powerless, and your God doesn't care, and where's God, and woe is me. And any chance you had to show someone that you might actually have a little faith and be different because of your Jesus was blown. When he had the perfect setup. All right. Next. Genesis 39:6. And if this is hitting any of you, that's good. But remember, it was my lesson first. So you ain't alone. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. This is really when I read and I realized it was for me. This was about me. I'm kind of just kidding. If we had video, people would understand how bad that is. So. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Remember, 17 years old, doing all the work now, so guess what? Boom! Made him cut. Very smart, right? And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." Stop right there. Potiphar was a powerful man. We can't guarantee this because scriptures don't say it. But powerful men usually attract the women that everybody else wants, but they're only going to give themselves to that powerful man because they can get a lot out of life. So I would guess that Potiphar's wife was probably pretty good looking. So I'm 17. I'm in a foreign land. I've been done wrong. I'm in the prime, hate to say it, but just say it, prime of my sexual life with no sexual life. And this older woman who's hot to trot is chasing me around wanting me, okay? We'll get into this more later, but I want you to grasp that that's what Scripture is trying to say here. No bones about it. Just say what the Scripture is trying to say, because if you don't, you miss it, okay? And she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Notice two things. One, he said, my master has given me everything. He didn't pay attention to anything but what's on the table. How much could he have stolen from his master? But more than that, and oh, you know, in this culture that we have where we're told quick gratification and find out where the sin line is so you can run right up to the edge of it and tap dance on it just as long as you don't step over instead of really wanting to do what God says. We have a hard time not clicking on pornography. And this guy, listen, 17 years old, he's in a land where no one's there to hold him accountable, surrounded by false gods. Okay? His God could easily have been seen as abandoning him. His family has left him. He will never, at 17 years old, have an active life with good-looking women. And the one person who keeps him as a slave, he now has access to his wife, and no one will ever know. He could have gone on with one choice at 17 and slept with his master's wife, probably forever. Could have set up a secret world of indulgence, and do you not think how awesome and sweet it would have been in his heart and even justified? Look what I'm doing behind my master's back. Look how I got them back. Right? I got it going on. I'm the man. I'm in the palace and I'm sitting here sleeping with the master's wife and he doesn't even know it. And he had got away with it. And you couldn't have blamed him. And there was no one at 17 years old to hold him accountable. But what he did, the smallest things, what he did when pressured over and over and over, what he did when no one was there to hold him accountable, what he did when he was down and out and hurt and it was unfair and unjust and had a right to feel bad for himself and get a little pleasure in life, the little choices he made completely altered everything that God would ever do with him. Do you get that? No matter what goes on in your life, it's the little things that no one else, you compare your life to his. Okay, in your life, it would be the little decisions, the little thoughts, the little things you do when no one else is around that no one knows but God, that no one will ever be able to hold you accountable to, that you will get away with, but it shows where your heart really is. Those are the things, those are the choices that will tell God, I really want you, take me down the path, or I'm just playing. Let me stay where I'm at. How many of us have been discredited on the path to being used by God and we failed right here? And he did it even when it didn't seem like God was being fair. And when no one was looking. And let me tell you what, you want to be built up in character? You want to be somebody that God uses? Let me tell you where it starts. It starts in the decisions that are this big and they're hidden from the world. It starts where you make a decision there because of your love and your desire for God rather than what can I get away with because nobody will find out and I'll still look like a good Christian. That is where the character building process begins. That is where you will become something for God and you'll only do that through His power and His strength and the Spirit. You can't do it on your own. Or you will fall away and take a different path. Luke 16:10, truer words never spoken. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Stop and think about that the next time you're struggling with sin and what can you get away with versus what should you do about it. He who is faithful in the very least has proven he wants God. So when you're put out there in the X factor and it's coming and you're not being done right and you have every reason to feel sorry for yourself and indulge in a little bit of sin, that little bitty sin that nobody else knows about, there's where you decide that you're going to grow your character in Jesus Christ or you're not going to be used. All right. So how many times, this hurts, but I just want you to be honest. How many times might God already have used you and this is where we failed? Because we chose the little things, the little indulgences, rather than God. How many times in the future now are you going to make yourself available to God through the power of the Spirit that you can't do on your own because your new desire and passion is, Holy Spirit, help me make decisions in the small things when nobody's around, when it doesn't count for anybody but my God, because that's when it's a gift only to God, not my ego. How much more can God use you if you take that seriously? That's where the battle's won or lost, guys. Genesis 39:19. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was roused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. And this was a bad place. So it's kind of cool. Joseph had his first coat taken off when he was taken away, because God was going to correct him. And Joseph probably could have said, you know, thinking back, I deserve this. Well, the second time his coat's taken away, it's taken away because he's trying to do the right thing. Every time he sheds a coat, something changes in his life. I want you to realize that. It's a true story, all the way down to when he sheds his clothes coming out of prison later. Three shedding of clothes and three cycles of life. It's pretty awesome. But anyway, Joseph, not only against all odds, he chose to do the right thing. Not only did he suffer in spite of doing the right thing. He suffered as a direct cause of doing the right thing. So now how do you think I feel? I'm 17. I'm a slave. You've taken me away from everything. I had the chance to have the time of my life, and just because of you and you only, God, I say no, and I do the right thing anyway. And you make it worse. You destroy my life when I thought it couldn't be destroyed anymore. Have you ever seen anybody? I know you have, because I've heard you say it to me. Well, I just don't understand, because that person loved God and did more for God than anybody I know. Why did it happen to them? You ever said that? How many of you have ever felt that about yourself? I've heard you say that. Well, I don't know why it happened, because I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to do what's right. Why did God let it happen to me? Well, maybe that's the very reason he let it happen to you. Because it's the G factor. Boy, could Joseph have said this. Boy, if you're honest, you've done it. You've said it about yourself. And if you haven't, come on down to the altar and pray afterwards, because you're a liar. I'm trying so hard to serve you, Lord. Why? Listen, the next time these thoughts enter your mind, we do not know what God is doing in His infinite wisdom. We don't know. So shut it and trust Him. These moments test whether you believe that He is real and He is in control. Because you can flap your jaws all day, and the first time something bad happens to something as great as you are, and you say, God, how could you? Then you have just thrown everything out the window about anything you ever said about trusting Him and His knowledge and will and love. It was all a facade. And that might be why He let the X factor come your way, to show you it was a facade. Because when it really counted for you to believe that, you didn't. If your goal in life is to honor and serve God, moments like this will be the chance for you to totally surrender and totally trust Him like no other. If it's your goal, you will embrace it. If it's your goal to really serve God, and He's not National Guard weekends only just to get to heaven, if it's your goal and this comes, then you see it as your opportunity to surrender to Him like you never have, and let the world see your faith and your joy in a mess. Isaiah 26:3, you, God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You stay your mind on him and he'll take you through it. That's where your peace and your joy are, even when it doesn't make sense. And you're only showing the world God when you do have peace and joy when it doesn't make sense. So I'm not telling you it's going to take your peace and joy away because of the X factor. I'm telling you, you'll still have it, and that's what's going to glorify him. Will you have crazy moments? Oh, come and live at our house for a while. But you'll overall walk in. Jesus Christ was a man acquainted with griefs and sorrows, but he walked in peace. Joseph's faith in God, even when his righteousness just brought more difficulty, put one more piece on the chessboard in place. And it grew him more and more and more. So this is where you believe it, and you can read this and rejoice. Romans 5:3, we rejoice in our sufferings. Rejoice, knowing that suffering, and I'm telling you, there's been a few moments in life, a few moments. God's still doing a whole lot of work in me. There's been a few moments that I have literally given worship and praise to God in my sufferings. Man, was it awesome. And then it fleeted. But it's what we strive for. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces. You see the positives, but it's got to come first with the X factor. The X factor brings suffering, which produces endurance. And endurance produces what class? Character. And character produces what class? Hope. As my character develops and I understand more and more and realize my place, I gain hope. See how that scripture makes sense? And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Listen closely. Sometimes we ask God, where are you? This is awesome. Get this. This is a biggie. Stop. Think. Pay attention. Sometimes in our darkest hours we say, God, where are you? I have experienced and counseled many people. Get this. In your darkest, worst hour, when instead of saying, God, where are you, just simply open your heart and entrust, look for him. Those are the moments that God reveals himself in ways he has never revealed himself to you ever, spiritually, emotionally, and even physically. Your darkest times when you're walking through the X factor are the times that you will look back and say, I have never been closer to God. I have never seen God move like that. I have never felt him in my heart or heard him so clear or watched him do such amazing things. And it was in the heart of the worst time of my life. There have been people that have been persecuted horribly, in danger of their life, and had everything taken from them. And when they got through it and came back to a life of safety, say, I wish I could go back. That's a true story. Because when I was there, I had all guards down and I was trusting and I saw him and I felt him. So instead of you and your selfishness saying, God, where are you? Just shut your mouth and open your eyes and watch, and he will reveal himself more than he ever has. He's just waiting. It's one of the sweetest parts about walking through what God puts you through. He's there. It's just all in what you're focused on. Joseph did more than just hang on in his faith during these times. You know what he did that was so awesome? I'm almost done. Listen, he didn't just hang on. He continued to selflessly give to those around him. His whole life was about serving everyone, even his enemies, in every step. And when he got put in prison and it was all over and he was going to rot in jail at best, if not be executed later, what was he still doing? Serving the guards and serving the prisoners. And you know he didn't give up on God, because he told the prisoners, well, hey, you got a problem, let's take it to the master of dream interpretation. And he used his gifts to help them, which means he was walking with who? God. At his worst moment, do you know what? He didn't just hold on to his poor, pitiful faith. And this is our problem, people. We're so focused on self-improvement and focusing on my faith and how I can grow. That's all good, but it's hollow. The way to really make it is to go through hell on earth and not focus on self, but to be focused on other people dead in the middle of it. That's where you're going to grow. When it's not so much about you focused on how you can build yourself up spiritually that the rest of the world can go to hell and you don't even care. That's not really building yourself up. When you can be at the bottom rung of the ladder and your thoughts are still on what can I do for the people around me, that's when you're really relying on and walking with God in the middle of your problems. The moment you turn inward, you've lost God. Do you understand that? And when I get the most selfish and everything bothers me and I want to gripe about everything, it's when I've lost God and I'm walking on my own. So the next time you get that attitude with your spouse, stop and think. I'm on the bottom rung and I'm looking the wrong way. And that comes from bottom line. Let faith produce your circumstance. Produce your direction in life instead of circumstances. Let faith decide how you will react, not circumstances. Let what you know in your heart decide where you're going to go, and stop being a victim. The world teaches you to be a victim. It is the way, and it's a horrible life. All right, almost there. That means 45 more minutes. Genesis 41. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved and changed his clothes. He dropped another coat. Dropped one coat coming in to get straightened out. Dropped another coat to say, even though I'm not doing anything wrong, I'm suffering for my righteousness, but I'm going to learn that that's okay too. And now he's dropped another coat since he suffered through, didn't deserve it. Righteousness still brought it on him. And God says, now I'm ready. Let's shed that coat one more time. You're ready for action. The X factor did its job. Okay? He changed his clothes and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said, and there's no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And if I was Joseph, I'd say, you doggone right. Keep me out of there. I'll take care of you, bro. Right? No. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said to the servant, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all of this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And then, after all of this, 13 years, he's now about 30 years old. God has got it going on. You decide you want to serve God, and in 6 months, if you're not out there blazing a trail with the church of 2,000, you got issues, and God ain't real. Man, 13 years later, life of hell. And finally, the X factor takes effect. God already sees the whole picture, and he knows what he's doing. Okay? So, finally, after all the events and the pain and the unrelated misfortunes, and I don't see how it's going to all fit together, every bit of it came together in such a way as Joseph could never imagine, and Joseph was careful at the pinnacle of it all to still only give God the glory. It was awesome. But he gave God the glory because, this is what I want you to realize, if God ever finally uses you, let me give you this thesis statement. Who you are at the other side, listen, who you are at the other side when he's finally given you the ministry or made you into the person you need to be and everything's going hunky-dory and you did have faith and it's all rocking, who you are then is probably more important than the person you were in the gutter, because that's usually where we lose it. Where we begin to want to take all the glory about my ministry and the people I've helped and how great and sweet I am, man, shut up. Joseph didn't do that. When Joseph was made number two in the nation of nations in that time, he's not the same little brat that wore the coat of many colors. Here's why. Because he realized, and this is, okay, apply this to yourself. If God ever does use you, he realized it was God that brought him down the path that made him what he was. And it was God that helped him make the right decisions along that path that made him what he was. He wasn't brought to it. I mean, he didn't walk to it. He was brought to it. He was brought through it. And he was molded through it. And it had nothing to do with him. And he could just thank God that he was one that was allowed to go through it to be made special. It wasn't him. He knows God taught him things he would never have learned. He knows God gave him a new attitude and a new heart. He knows God sustained him when he was a beanhead. He knows God has orchestrated things to allow him to be used when he couldn't have orchestrated them himself. And if you keep that mindset, God will keep using you. Otherwise, you shut him down. I've seen so many people take 5 steps in the right direction and think they're all that for God, and they will be completely unusable because suddenly it's about how awesome they are, not God. Now, if you want God to use you, then you do the things we talked about last week, and then you tell him, "I know the X factor's coming. I just know it." Okay? You anticipate it. You do more than anticipate it. You ask for it. Because you just say, "You know what, God? I'm a moron. And I need you to mold me in ways I'm not going to do it on my own. So bring it. And Holy Spirit, please help me." Right? And then here's what you do. When it hits you in the face, you trust, listen, you trust God's heart, and you trust God's wisdom. I know his character. He's got to have a reason for this because he loves me. I know his wisdom, so he's making a plan. So you, number one, when you're walking through the X factor, you trust his heart and his wisdom, and then you keep walking. That's all you're required to do. Do you get that? Everything else he will do. You listen when he speaks, but all you're required to do is ask the Holy Spirit to help you keep walking in, here's the key, through the Holy Spirit. As you walk in love. You walk in peace. And you walk in servitude. Did you get that? So you trust him, and you walk in love and peace and servitude. And he will take you places you never dreamed you could go. It's your only requirement. What if God had never allowed these trials and difficulties? Would Joseph have remained soft and arrogant? Class? Probably. What if God didn't allow circumstances in your life? Would you remain soft and arrogant in the good old United States of America? Yeah. If God had not allowed these trials and difficulties, he would never have had perseverance and determination and toughness and humbleness. He would never in a million years, as a shepherd on the backside of the desert, hated by Egyptians, hated a little tribe of 70 people on the backside of a desert, hated, how would he have ever found a way to go in and be second in a nation of nations? God worked. You just got to trust. So, not only should we be okay when God works, but if we're serious about being used by God, you should anticipate and ask God for that G factor. You should say, I really want to be used. I can't wait to see what you're going to do. It's got to get beyond me. It's got to go outside of my realm and what I can do. So, Lord, bring it. I'm ready. Even though you won't be, but he'll take you through it. And that's where your faith and your character and your heart's going to grow. So, I'm going to stop here. I know we need to go. I promise you, nothing's changed. I promise you. If you're serious about what we've talked about, God's going to take you through things that are going to grow you. If you're serious, listen, you only do two things that Joseph showed us. One, you trust his heart and his character no matter what happens to you. Two, you keep walking in what? Peace. And in love and in servitude. And he's the same God today. If you are willing to give your life to these things, walking as a disciple is not easy. If you're willing to give your life to these things, if you're willing to walk through the X factor, then you can expect God to supernaturally, powerfully use you. You can't get a shortcut. You can't do it differently than every page of Scripture ever says. So if you sit here and wonder, why does God never use me? Use you, look at what it requires. You're saved. He loves you. He died for you. But if you want to be used, this is what it requires. And let me tell you why it requires this much. Because that's how much he loves you and that's how much he gave you. When Jesus was here, this was the example he gave. He gave it all. He walked through the X factor. He allowed God to grow him as a human, to grow him in maturity, to grow him in faith. He had to grow like us. And if the God of the universe will allow himself to go through that because he loves us, he wants you to do the same thing to show your love to him. We are in the midst of one big love story. And if we don't have that passion and we're not willing to give our lives to it, he says that's okay. You can live right where you are. But if you want more of him, it's going to take all you got. If in this group only a couple of people would step forward and say, bring it. Whatever it costs me, I am determined that this life will not be wasted for God. Put me in the X factor. Your life will change forever. So I hope that one or two of you really takes it serious and does what he's calling you to do. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, I just can only pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that I would be one of those one or two, because I know what I'm made of and I've seen what you do when I do just step into your will and say, no matter the cost, the beauty, the awesomeness, the peace that rolls in, the preciousness of every minute of life when you're walking in the will of God, no matter where it takes us, cannot be explained. And we can only get there by just stepping out. Lord, help me to stay humble enough to know that I am nothing without you. And let me stay in your will all of my days, Lord. I don't want to be anywhere else. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd move on every heart here, that every person here would never, ever be satisfied with another lukewarm day. And we'd be willing to do what it takes, learn what we need to learn, grow where we need to grow, and trust you. The world needs it now more than ever. Holy Spirit, have your way. Move on us. In Jesus Christ's precious name, amen.